Days are getting a little bit longer. The pools are open. Have you invited your pastor to your lake house yet? It's just a wonderful time of year. Seasons, an incredible concept for spiritual learning, a concept that Jesus used often. But to you, my friends, I wanted to tell you, happy summer. Happy summer. And for those of you thinking, well, summer doesn't officially start until, happy summer. Happy summer. This time of year, folk descend on all sorts of places of joy. One said place, the happiest place on earth, is a place I have never been. I have snuck into the West Coast version a few times, but that's another story for another sermon. But if you would receive my confession now, as a youngster, we won't go there. But a debate in our home currently, a debate is, will we take our daughter to the land of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks? I say no. I'd rather go to Yosemite. I'd rather go to Yellowstone. Well, what do you think we're going to do? Right. Have you been there? Have you been to Disney World? I don't want to go. I have no interest of going to the swamp hundreds of miles away from the beach. It makes no sense. This kingdom, greater and more expensive, more valuable than many countries on earth, more concrete than I care to admit. I can remember as a kid, every summer our youth pastor would take us to Six Flags Over Texas. Have you been there? We would get there as the gates opened. It was hot. And we were all forced to wear those Christian t-shirts, all matching. I'm still working through this, as you can see. 14 hours we would spend walking around Six Flags, and often we would go to the roller coasters, the two I remember, the Texas Giant and what was then called a Flashback. And we would come up to the roller coaster, and we would wait in line for a couple hours. And you see, we wouldn't have these smartphones. We would be forced to slowly step towards the start of the ride, looking at one another, talking to one another, realizing that Brian kind of smells and David is really not that funny after standing in close proximity with him after a couple of hours. My brother took his kids to the happiest place on earth last summer. And strangely enough, if he paid them a couple mortgage payments, they would send to him, weeks in advance of their trip, bracelets for everyone in the family. And each kid got to pick which bracelet they got. You know, one liked this character, one liked another character. And these were the Fast Pass bracelets. Have you seen these? So now you can go to a theme park and you can walk up and wave your wrist as though it were a wand or do some voodoo magic on your cell phone and not have to wait in line. You go to Magic Kingdom and you want to do that ride, you walk up close, you wave your wrist, and they give you a time in which you come back to the ride and you walk right onto the coaster and you have your 20 seconds of fun. Why would they do this? Well, the more time you spend in line waiting is the less time you spend buying funny hats and $12 Cokes. And all of this suggests something about our culture, that less waiting is more happiness. We read together today and celebrate and remember the ascension of Jesus 40 days after the resurrection. I'd like to read to you again verse 49, although the first version was good enough earlier. Verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. I'd like to focus here. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. Stay in the city. And Christ says to his closest friends and disciples, stay. Greek word there is kathizo, as you well know. Love the King James Version here. beginning at stay, says, tarry ye until power from on high has been undued upon thee. Can I ask you a favor? For the next few minutes, would you just tarry ye? Would you just stay put? This word kathizo, used 50 times in the New Testament, often translated as sit or stay, carrying also the connotation to delay, to linger, to wait. Tarry ye. And of the 50 times that this word is used throughout the New Testament, I find that it's used generally in three different contexts. And the first context is to sit, to stay around the table on Sabbath. So as Jesus tells his friends to sit and to stay, he's telling them to Sabbath, to gather around the table. And the second context in which this word is used is in an educational setting. In fact, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, it says that Jesus sat, he kathizo. We pray for our educators every week that your kids in your classrooms would sit and stay. There is at times this connection to formation, to growth, to education, when we will be disciplined enough to sit, to stay, and to wait. And all of these equally interesting, but I do find the third moderately interesting. The third context in which this word is used is often in connection with the Son of Man, that prophetic title for Christ, the Son of Man being raised and seated upon that heavenly throne, to sit upon the throne, to stay upon the throne, to wait upon the throne. And this really strikes me, that in the same words that are used of the Son of Man ascending to the throne is the same word that Jesus says to his friends and his disciples. You sit, stay, wait upon the throne here in Jerusalem. On this day, June 2nd, 1935, George Herman Ruth, the Babe, called it quits from baseball. And I need you to know that I made a deal with the Vision and Leadership Team and the search, the Pastor Search Committee, that if I would tell a sermon illustration based upon baseball, then I would be allowed to tell three sermon illustrations based upon soccer. Okay, I'm kidding. Five. On this day, 1935, Babe Ruth, the Sultan of Swat, the Sultan of Swat, the great Bambino, took a seat to sit and to wait. And now I understand that many of you all are far more learned in this topic than I, but I found this interesting. In 1914, he began his career as a left-handed pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. One of the greatest hitters of all time, a left-handed pitcher for seven seasons with the Boston Red Sox, and was traded, as you likely know, in 1920 to the New York Yankees, in which it was there that he became that outfielder and slugger, one of the greatest hitters of one of the boringest sports. Kidding, one of the greatest hitters of America's pastime. For just a moment, if you would, I'd like to just draw a dichotomy, maybe a bit harsh, but just for the sake of learning, possibly that there are two types of people in the world, that there are possibly two types of people in this room. And the first type is the type that receives the call of Christ here as he's ascending into the heavens, receive the call of Christ to sit and to wait and to stay. And this first type of person, you may identify with this type of person, is a person who is on the run, on the move, going and doing and striving and accomplishing. This person has energy and activity. And all the more important for this person to receive the call from a Savior to sit, to wait, to stay still for just a time. For sometimes it is all of our activity that we proclaim that maybe we're the king, that we are the Savior. And it is the king over all creation that says, you like all persons, will need to enter into a season in which you sit and stay and wait. A second type of person, possibly, is the person who has received the call to sit and to stay and to wait. You have been obedient to God's encouragement for you to take time to sit, to listen, to discern. And for those of you who may identify with the one who is patient, there is change coming. In verse 47, we read, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." For those of you who have been patient to sit and stay and wait, you will not sit and stay and wait forever. This beginning of Jerusalem, what an incredible city. What an incredible place to gather, to enjoy, to be around the table with one another. And you were not designed to be there forever. The gospel, the kingdom of God, is always expanding, always moving forth. And there are times where it is most important for us to sit and stay and wait, but we will not sit and stay and wait forever. It will begin in a place, and it will move forth from that place. And I can't help but to just imagine that maybe Babe Ruth learned a little something about hitting as he spent 7 years as a pitcher. And so as you sit, as you stay, as you wait, you have and I have the opportunity to learn, to grow, to be formed for that which is needed in the change ahead. And the change ahead of you, it may be a change that you need to actively make. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to move from this place of sitting and waiting and staying. I'm going to actively move from Jerusalem out to the ends of the earth. And the change, the transition ahead of you may also be one that you did not ask for. Here, the disciples, they don't know exactly what's going on. They don't fully understand Christ's plan to return again in spirit at Pentecost. There is change that will be thrust upon you that you did not ask for. But you will face, and I hope and I pray that we might be more prepared for the change ahead of us because of our ability to receive first the call of Christ to sit, to stay, and to wait. And one of the highlights of my week is on Tuesdays when the podcast for This American Life is published. And what I would like to ask of you is for you not to listen to it. For if you are to listen to it, then these sermons on Sundays are going to become all the more boring. I know where you got that story, Jake. Not long ago, they told the story of a young mother who was working and a single mom, had a son and a daughter, and was working and was able to make ends meet, but there sure wasn't much extra left at the end of each month. And son and daughter really, really wanted to go on summer vacation. And so they asked mom, "Can we go on summer vacation? Can we go on summer vacation?" And one summer, she really tried, but just really wasn't able to swing it. And so she dedicated herself for a year to pick up extra shifts, to work more, to save more, so that next summer that they were going to go to the happiest place on earth. And so that next summer, this young single mother took her son and her daughter down, not far, just drove down a little bit further south into Florida to that swamp of Orlando, and checked into a Walt Disney World themed hotel. And this place was incredible. The kids loved it. As you walked in from the parking garage, there's a Cars exhibit. And there's Lightning McQueen to welcome you in. There's an activity right there for you to do as you come in. When you go to the pool, at the pool at this Walt Disney themed hotel. There's the Pirates of the Caribbean where you can, for as long as you want, you can shoot your brother or your sister with the water gun and pretend to be a pirate. This place is incredible. This hotel has a media room that shows Walt Disney films 24/7, and they show all. They show the old Mary Poppins and the new Mary Poppins. They don't show my favorite, The Land Before Time, but that's another problem for another day. You can watch any of the Disney movies there. In the mornings, at breakfast is when things get really special. There is a breakfast buffet. And at the end of the buffet is a guy who will make you pancakes. And this guy pours the pancake batter in three circles, right there, touching one another on the edges. And when that pancake is done, he puts it on a plate and covers it in whipped cream. And when the whipped cream is all settled, he puts a red cherry as the nose. And he puts chocolate chips as the eyes. And I don't know if you'll believe this, but when that plate is done, those pancakes look exactly like Mickey Mouse. And this is the best part about breakfast for this family, each with a Mickey and a Minnie Mouse pancake. They begin to make a plan for what we're going to do today. All the activities at the hotel, we've got an algorithm so that we can maximize our time here at this hotel. And this was an interesting point to the children. It didn't bother them all too much, but it seemed like some of the other families didn't tarry ye at the breakfast bar as long as their family did. It seemed like they were eating a bit quicker and a bit rushed out the door in the mornings. And in the afternoons and the evenings, these same families would return with strange hats and Disney balloons. It was interesting to the children, although they didn't mind, which meant the pool was empty throughout the day, which meant the media room was empty throughout the day. They can pick whatever movie they want to make. And it wasn't until a decade later, as they're finishing high school, the son and the daughter learned from another friend that Disney World was not just a hotel, that there were these other theme parks. You could leave the hotel and go to these theme parks all day long. It wasn't until another decade later that they began to truly understand all the sacrifice that their young single mother did in order for them to just go to a hotel. And it wasn't until another decade later when these children were able to take their children to the real McCoy, the real deal Holyfield. These children took their children to Disney World. It wasn't until then that they had really began to appreciate that vacation in which they got to sit and stay and wait at the hotel. Christ is ascending, and there is incredible, incredible kingdom ministry on the near horizon. And if we will wait, if we will sit, if we will stay and tarry ye in this hotel in which we have been given, in which this hotel in which we are called to be stewards of here, there is much better, much bigger, a place in which there are no more lines on the horizon. Let's pray together. How good it is to be on the move, to travel, to be active, to serve, to use our bodies. How good it is sometimes to have a full calendar and schedule with work events and family events and sporting events and ministry events and church. How good this is. And how good is your reminder, oh God, to sit and to stay and to wait and to prepare for that which is better. be near to us as we gather in Jerusalem around the table. Be near to us as we gather in the beginning, that we might learn and grow and be formed in your image, that we might learn and grow and be formed into better relationship with one another, with brother, with sister, with neighbor, with coworker. And may all of this participate in your ever-expanding, ever-moving, ever greater than we can imagine, the happiest place on earth, the kingdom of Christ, ascended and seated upon the throne of love and of grace. We pray in your name, the name that is above and beyond and before and within all names, the name of true love, the name of the risen Lord Jesus. Amen.